Thanks for listening to The Drive with Big Al and D-Mac, on demand, brought to you by SEL Mortgage, the leaders in Colorado of special circumstance lending, helping everyone, including people with unusual financing needs. Locally owned and operated, visit myspecialmortgage.com. That's myspecialmortgage.com.
It's football at 4 with Big Al and D-Mac on Sports Radio 104.3 The Fan.
We'll get to the cuts of the Broncos and last night, but to preview the Rocky Mountain Showdown from the Buffalo side of the ball, it's our good friend Mark Johnson. Mark, good afternoon. So nice of you to join us. How are you, Mark?
D-Mac, Big Al. I know Big Al's picking the music. I can hear it out there.
That's not turn it up, Big Sexy. Mark, with a 5-7, 2-7, how much pressure is on the Buffaloes to start off on the right foot against CSU compared to maybe previous years?
Yeah, you know, it's funny, D-Mac, you asked that question. You know, you would think this game would be huge pressure to get up to a good start. You know, the last 12 years, the team that has won this game has gone to a winning record only twice. Think about that for a second.
Wow.
How about that?
Wow.
So I think overall, from a season standpoint, there's pressure to bounce back after 2017, but obviously statistically, apparently this game really doesn't mean anything to having a successful season because the winner has not gone on a great success over the last, you know, decade plus. But I do think there is pressure for the Buffs to bounce back because, you know, they opened so many eyes in 2016, obviously took a step back last year. And so I think where they're at, the way they've recruited the last few years, I think it's important to, you know, to pile up some wins, get back to a bowl game, and kind of put this program back where it's supposed to be.
You know, this is so exciting to all college football fans around here. You know, we don't get a chance to talk that much college football, but I am ready to see Montez this year, man. I think that this kid is special. I've been talking him up to all of my CU brethren for at least a couple of years, those that are out of state and they're wondering what we have at quarterback. I believe in him, Mark.
Well, and Alan, I'll say this. You know, he's got all the physical attributes you're looking for. He's got a cannon for an arm, big, strong kid, runs pretty well. But he's always been an athlete playing quarterback. And maybe it's a thin distinction, but I've always thought he's got to get to the point where he's a quarterback that's athletic. And I'll say this. You talk to Steven, you talk to all the guys in that quarterback room, the rest of the staff, they are raving about Kurt Roper coming on and working with him as a quarterback coach, not as a coordinator, but as a quarterback coach. And Steven has said he's made a big difference. I guess we'll find out when, you know, the bullets start flying. But, you know, through camp, and I was out there every single day, I was every practice, I think I see a quarterback that's thinking and understanding the game more than just reacting and being athletic.
Tell us about Trayvon McMillan and his ability to replace Philip Lindsay.
Yeah, I like him. He's kind of a high-waisted guy, long striding kind of guy, but he's powerful, not easy to bring down. Here's where I think the Buffs are really going to miss Philip Lindsay. And I don't know if it's putting up, it might be individually a Trayvon Martin or Kyle Evans or collectively, you know, those three or four guys that are in the rotation. They're going to miss Philip Lindsay for one of the reasons he's going to make the Broncos, because he's got a high football IQ and he's great in protection and picking up the blitz pickup and those kind of things. He was phenomenal in that regard when that O-line struggled. So I don't know if Trayvon's got that in him. We'll find out, I guess. He's obviously a good runner. I mean, he had over 2,000 yards and 16 or 17 touchdowns at Virginia Tech. So he can carry the ball, and he's a physical specimen. Now we'll find out if he's got those little intangibles like Philip does.
You know, it was a little different watching CSU last weekend against Hawaii because they were able to run the football pretty effectively. How are we looking up front? Is Javier Edwards going to be able to man that middle?
You know, Al, I think he will be. And think about this for a second. When he got on campus 2 years ago, guys, I mean, he was about a corn dog shy of 400 pounds.
Right.
Like, oh, my Lord.
Or 387 pounds or something when he got there. He dropped down about 360 last year. He's down to 335, which is still enormous, but he's a shell of the man he used to be. I think he's better conditioned-wise up front. But, guys, they brought in a few fellas out here. And Al, one of them, all the old-timers around the program look at Terrence Lang and said, that reminds me of a young, physically speaking, a young Alfred Williams.
I mean, love that.
Shouldered, you know, long-rangey, athletic. And so he's got a chance. I think the guy that you'll really be hearing about initially, because I think it'll take Terrence a little while to kind of figure things out, but is Israel Antoine. He's the four-star kid that came in from Oklahoma City. He was a national powerlifting champion. As a true freshman, will start tonight on that defensive front and is overpowering guys throughout camp. So I think he's special, and I think Mustafa Johnson, who has come in as well. So they've added depth there. and I think they're better. They couldn't be a whole lot worse than they were a year ago. At least they're deeper this year, and they've got some guys that really pass the eye test, and so I feel better about it right now than I did 12 months ago.
With the matchup with Nebraska next week,
yeah,
has it been a bit of a challenge to keep things focused on this matchup for the Buffs?
You know what, D-Mac? I was wondering about that going in, but the one thing that I realized very quickly in camp, every kid I talked to didn't have a clue what I was talking about when I asked them about Nebraska. Think about that for a second.
Right.
The Buffs
haven't
played them since 2010.
Right. Yeah, I guess so. Yeah.
These guys were 8, 9 years old and weren't paying attention at that point in time. They really don't know what anybody's talking about about this great rivalry. So for them, great game. Fine, we get to go to Nebraska and play a Big Ten team, but they're not thinking about that thing in the same regards that guys like us are at all.
I'm looking forward to seeing a couple guys out there. Jay McIntyre, by the way, is coming back as a senior. I've heard nothing but great things about him. And one of the young guys that I just love this kid. I've known him since he was a baby. Is going to be on the depth chart at some point. I don't know if he'd get a chance to play. But another Colorado kid, Dimitri Stanley, is playing wide receiver for the Colorado Buffaloes.
Well, and I tell you what, he's a good-looking young player. But guys like he and Maurice Bell, because they're so good at the top, and guys, you remember who we lost last year, guys like Shea Field, Bryce Bubba, who was just released by the Broncos today, I saw, and guys like that were so good, they're top 20 guys all time at Colorado receiving. They might actually be more talented this year. Fellas, watch out for LaVisca Chenault. I am telling you, this guy is going to be a star. They will use him all over the field. I think Juwan Winfrey's an NFL kind of guy. Katie Nixon probably is going to get a look in the NFL more.
Right.
Smaller guy.
He can fly.
They really are talented in that receiving core. So Stanley will come, but his chance isn't going to come for a year or two because they are really loaded up top.
Right, and one thing about this, like I talked to Juwan earlier in the season this year when I went up to see you, man. This receiving core has a little bit of something for everybody. If you're looking for a big receiver that got you covered, that you're looking for a burner that's a shorter guy that gets in and out of routes, they got that covered. But this offensive line is a bigger unit than we've seen from the University of Colorado in a long time, and a talented unit as well.
Well, and it used to bother me during that bad decade that we finished up here a couple of years ago.
Right.
When a kid would come in as a freshman and he was 6'2", 240, and we'd be hearing, well, he's going to grow.
Right.
Which direction?
Right. The guys that are recruiting now, they come in, they're 6'7", 295, and they just got to toughen them up and harden them up in the weight room. And so the raw material's better. And they got a great young man, a redshirt freshman, with him, Colby Purcell, will start at center. Smart kid, really got high football IQ, very physical. By the way, isn't even 18 years old yet. Think about that for a second.
Mm.
He graduated as a 16-year-old, gray-shirted last year, so starting as a 17-year-old this game here tonight. Kim Lenat's a local kid out of Parker from Regis. Big, thick kid, strong kid. And so they look much better than they did a number of years ago, certainly.
From the desk of the great Dave Platty. The first time in 129 seasons, you guys are going to have 3 Friday night games.
How about that?
What about that, Mark? What do you think about that?
Well, you know, it's in the world of television we live in, it's kind of just part and parcel to it. You better be ready to play now. If you're in a non-BCS conference, you better be ready to play any night of the week. If you're a Power 5 conference, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and depending on what the NFL's doing, maybe on a Sunday on occasion too, you know, on a weekend like this. So it's the world we live in. We've got this one here tonight, the UCLA game, which is the Pac-12 opener here in about 3 weeks at home, and then at, what is it, Arizona, I think is the last Friday.
Yeah, that's right. Well, Mark, it's great to have you on.
No doubt, my friend.
And we wish you the best with you and Gary on the call, and go Buffs.
We got to do this more often, my friend.
I would love to. Big guy, you coming down to the stadium tonight, right?
I'm coming down. Yes, me and Dan Graham and a host of Justin Bannon. I mean, there's got to be like 8 or 9 of us that are going to be in a box, and we're gonna have a great time.
It'll be like the Mount Rushmore of Buffaloes coming on down here.
Awesome.
It's going to be great.
Thanks, Mark. We'll talk to you soon.
All right, fellas.
And by the way, our own Mike Pritchard on the broadcast as well.
Is Pritchard doing the color analysis on the game?
No, that's Coach Barnett. But
he's doing sideline.
Yeah.
Sideline?
Yeah. So.
Oh, great.
They got to cover all Buffaloes all the time.
Oh, yeah.
Of course, Mark is a Syracuse guy, but it's okay.
But he is a CU man through and through.
There's no doubt about it.
I mean, if you're gonna listen to Colorado football or basketball, you're gonna hear.
We all gotta come from somewhere. And but nobody's more entrenched.
Did he go to the Syracuse School of Broadcast?
I don't think so, but he did Syracuse football and basketball for years.
Okay,
but he came here 20 years ago, you know, so he's. He's a Buffalo. I'm quite sure, my man.
I have those cowboy boots on and standing there, calling the game.
Run, Ralphie, run.
And ready to roll.
Okay. And then they run the little goat around.
They don't run the ram.
They don't run that around. It's not a goat.
Do they run it?
They try.
The ram's name is Cam.
Cam the ram.
Does he run around the field?
Well, he, you know, gets out to about the 10-yard line and gets pooped out.
Man, I love lamb chops.
All right.
I can't help myself.
The cuts, some of them are in. We'll let you know what they are next.
Sandy Clef here to tell you about SCL Mortgage Special Circumstance Lending, locally owned and operated. And if you're self-employed or work on commission, this is the place for you. Bank statement loans are back. You don't need tax returns to do your loan. In some cases, the bank statement loans can be done with credit scores in the low 600s. MySpecialMortgage.com on the web, 303-790-2222. The phone number, SCL Mortgage, licensed by the Colorado Department of Regulatory Agencies, number 1200716.
You're listening to The Drive with Big Al and D-Mac on Sports Radio 1043. The Fan.
I was dreaming of bigger things and want to leave my old life behind. Not a yes, sir. Not a follower.
A little high school football going on, too, in our great state of Colorado.
I'm proud of the other Buffaloes. Smoky Hill Buffaloes got a game tonight against Rangeview. I know, it's not Valor against Regis, right?
Is that happening tonight?
I don't know who Valor plays tonight. Valor's probably in, I don't know, I'd have to ask Brandon Stokely. Did they travel already? I know.
They did travel last weekend.
I think they're hosting but I don't know if that's tonight. I really don't know what the high school schedule is, but I'll be at a high school football game tonight. Cheering on my Buffaloes.
I'm excited to watch all levels of football
this
year.
It's fun, man.
Tomorrow, you know what I'm doing tomorrow? I'm going and hang out and watch some little kids play football somewhere. Somewhere around my house, I'm going to go and watch and stand on the sideline and watch some little kids play football.
Wait, Valor's playing Ponderosa tonight?
Tonight?
Oh, wow, that's a big game. Dang. All right.
Ponderosa, Valor.
Where's that game at?
Valor Stadium.
Stokely was saying that
that's a big game.
When they went out to play a team out in
Vegas,
California, I think they were in Vegas?
Last week they were in Vegas. They took on a team called Faith Lutheran, won 35-0.
Yeah. Right, and he said he passed by another school over there in Vegas. What's the big school?
Big school's Bishop Gorman.
He said he passed Bishop Gorman and was like, wow. Right. Now listen, if you haven't seen Valor's stadium and their accommodations, it's big time.
Mm-hmm.
But for a guy who's coaching at Valor to say that the other school
is Bishop Gorman,
wow.
If you want to see an unbelievable documentary, watch QB1 on Netflix. And it features three quarterbacks, one of them being Tate, what's-his-face, mm-hmm. who now is at Ohio State, who's been the player of the year for like two straight years. Never lost a game against anybody, and Bishop Gorman plays a national schedule except for one game. They played the Nevada High School State Championship game, which they won like 77-0.
Oh, really?
But other than that, they are just on the road playing Texas, California, Arizona, Florida, you know, whatever.
So they don't go through the playoffs at all?
I don't know how they arrange it, but somehow they made it in the Nevada State Championship, and they won the state championship by like 70 points.
I'm looking at that campus. Look at that.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
That's Bishop Gorman in Nevada.
That is ridiculous.
Near Las Vegas, I think.
Okay.
Yeah, it's unbelievable.
All right.
And Tate, this kid was so dynamic, so exciting. And
where is he at?
He's at Ohio State.
I talked to my son about this, and he said that Chad Kelly was part of...
Well, Chad Kelly's part of Last Chance U.
Yes.
Tate Martin. Yeah, Last Chance U is a totally different documentary.
I know, but I didn't know that.
Well, he wasn't part of it. Chad
the
Kelly
year before?
Yes, he played at EMCC the year before they started the documentary. However, they use highlights. They show Coach Buddy talking to Chad Kelly. I mean, Chad Kelly's definitely a big part of their history, for sure.
Okay.
You know, I junior college football
is big.
It's probably just a notch under Division I football.
Right. It's better than Division I AA most of the time.
Yeah, I think these top junior college football teams would crush the AA teams. They'd beat a lot of low, like Ivy League Division I teams, and they'd probably smoke every single Division II team out there. So it's nothing to it's a big deal. However, they're for the most part,
I mean, Cam Newton played in the junior college ranks.
Yeah, the junior college facilities are awful, and the where the kids stay, or it's still a junior college. You know what I mean? It's not. It's remarkable. Scuba.
I think
Scuba, Mississippi. Trust me.
Yeah, Blinn Junior College. Cam Newton went from Blinn Junior College to Auburn 1 year, won a Heisman, and was the first pick in the NFL
draft. Where was he before the junior college?
Florida State.
Right.
Exactly. But that's what I'm saying.
That's you get that kind of
reality that, you know, this guy's just passing through. You know,
well,
that's what junior college is. You're not building a 4 year history.
No.
This is, hey, you're blowing through here. Cam Newton wins a national championship with Blinn Junior College, does the same thing with Auburn, and okay, we saw him in the Super Bowl a couple of years ago. Those are the kind of kids you get in junior college.
It's a tough path, but it can work. The Broncos cut the following today. Wide receiver Bryce Bobo, see you. Bummer. Wide receiver Mark Chapman, CFL number one overall pick, see ya. John D'Arce, who I thought was pretty good, but it's a deep wide receiver crew. Free agent J.J. Dealman, offensive lineman, cut. Grandview Wolf, sorry, Big Sexy, offensive lineman, Austin Fleer, cut. Cornerback Michael Hunter. Wide receiver Jordan Leslie, who led the wide receivers this year in receptions. The person that led the team in receptions was actually David Williams, who had 10, and it's unlikely he's going to make the team even though he was a draft pick. Defensive lineman Quinton Osborne, cut. Guard Jeremiah Putaski was cut. I probably screwed that up. Cornerback Marcus Rios was cut. That's an interesting one. Outside linebacker Marcus Rush, defensive end Antonio Simmons, and defensive lineman Deshaun Williams all lost their jobs today. We'll see if any of them come back on the practice squad, and what will happen with Paxton Lynch. We'll dig into it next.
Sports Radio 104.3 The Fan presents The Drive with Big Al and D-Mac.
Here's Lynch on the run, has a man, it's Jordan Leslie, touchdown! Six. Here are the Broncos knocking on the door for 10. Paxton Lynch, end zone, touchdown, Matt. Three receivers, top of the screen. Paxton Lynch, what are you going to do? Paxton Lynch is going to run for it with that giant 6'7 frame. He's in for the 2-point conversion.
Steve Levy on the call from 9 News. Great job broadcasting. Like Steve. Miss Ron, but like Steve. And overall, the 9 News crew does a great job on the broadcast. And Brian Greasy's a pro's pro. And it was fun seeing Mike Kliss on the broadcast as well. And Ron Mackey.
Job.
And it was fun. Top to bottom. So, good job. It's a locally produced broadcast, which is not always easy to do, obviously. You know, compared to the big boys with the networks that have so many more, you know, tools at their disposal. So, good job. Good job by them top to bottom. That being said, Al, I played some highlights of the quarterbacks. Why don't you break down the quarterbacks for us from last night?
Well, what I thought was that it was shaky for Chad Kelly, even though he got a chance to come back in. And, you know, I wanted to see something at the two-minute mark. He threw the interception early, fairly early in the game, and it looked like he did not want to throw another interception. He threw a completion. I can't remember who he completed it to, but it was in the – he was moving to his left, and he threw the ball to a receiver who caught it that I don't think he was an initial receiver. Two receivers, they didn't say anything about it in the broadcast. But there were two receivers in the same area, which means that the play broke down and it was a scramble drill. And I just think, you know, wow, okay. Chad Kelly finally got caught making a mistake throwing the ball in the coverage and threw an interception. And then he came back on obvious third down and at least five or six or more, dumping the ball down 2 or 3 yards. That says that he wasn't willing right there to risk anything. That could be an issue. That could be an issue. If it's only to play safe and you're worried about what you're doing at the quarterback position, then you can't be great. Man, you gotta just forget that you threw the interception and come back and play with that same swag and that same confidence. He didn't look like Swag Kelly after he threw that interception.
Paxton Lynch.
I thought he was great. He did a great job last night. Too little, too late. Preseason game, last half of the fourth preseason game. Sorry, bro. You know, sorry. I mean, I haven't seen glimpses of this Paxton Lynch ever in the game. Have you?
Sort of.
When?
But I know what you're saying. Well, I've seen these glimpses when things are simple. He's on the move, and he's. I mean, what were most of the passes, Al? What were most of the passes? what are we talking about?
Right.
You know, but that's okay. And that was sort of my, you know, the premise of my Tebow manifesto years ago. That if you just order your offense around who you have, as long as that person's a good athlete and can do the things he does well, then you should be all right. But we've seen in the NFL coach after coach after coach who wants to bring their system to the team. And it's all about them and what they want to do. And everybody's got to fit around their thing rather than the other way around. You saw what happened when you keep things pretty simple. You move Paxton. The throws are, I mean, it's one look. Here's my guy. There you go. And then, you know, things may open up. Because those little short passes, Al, they work almost the same as play action. And, you know, just like Tebow, if it's just a straight read, he can throw the ball. His arm strength is fine. It's just the mental aspects of the game that get in his way. So if you make it simple, he can survive. I don't think you can make it simple the whole season because teams will do what they did to Tebow. They'll just figure it out. They'll put more guys in the box. They'll make the field much smaller, and you're going to struggle. And that's exactly what happened with Tebow. But for a while, or just for a couple weeks or so, you know, you don't turn the ball over, you can keep it close.
Hey, listen, we know about that. We know about that offensive style around here in Denver well. I mean, Mike Shanahan made the game pretty simple for most of the quarterbacks around here. We had great rushers who had 1,000-plus yards every year.
Complicated were things for Jake Plummer?
Not very. I mean, it wasn't very complicated for John Elway. I mean, turn around, hand the ball off the TD, run some play action, and you know, it wasn't this new stuff that could John get back there and throw 4 and 5 wideouts, no problem. Yeah, that means he's a Hall of Fame quarterback. But when we really won, and like the Broncos, when we really won Super Bowl 50, and like when Elway won 32 and 33. Turn the ball around, hand the ball off, make them honor the run, and then run a little boot. Certainly in that offense, Paxton looked okay.
Looked fine. What you can't do is make dumb turnovers like Trevor Siemian throwing pick sixes right before halftime to the Giants.
But you cannot.
You just can't do that.
You can't ask that guy to go 4 and 5 wides and figure it out.
No, you cannot. And it's not a great offense to like come from behind on. That's, I mean, Kelly, so you need a good defense.
Yeah, last night Kelly also, under duress, you know, just did not read what he did not read anything. He didn't read anything. So he was just throwing the ball, you know, because he thought he was getting pressure. And I mean, it was clear that he was rattled. So I didn't like that at all. Didn't like that at all. That's not what I needed to see. When you see a quarterback panic in those moments, when you see double A pressure And then we had everybody blocked up, and you know Kelly just didn't he didn't understand what was going on. He didn't. If that was a game, you know, we would have lost three possessions because he was rattled. Three possessions of an opportunity to score would have gone to the wayside because he was shook. Did not want to create another turnover.
So you're John Elway, and tonight you go to bed, and there haven't been a lot of other big names that have been cut. Not really. Everybody's kind of waiting until the last minute, till tomorrow. And where's your head at with quarterbacks? He's already said Chad Kelly's number two. He said that to a couple of media members. But where's your head really with quarterbacks?
We may get a quarterback, you know, after we may get a backup quarterback Wednesday, a guy that you can bring in
Who?
And cut. And you can cut him because, or should I say next Monday, next Tuesday, after the first game. I don't know. You were comfortable? You comfortable?
With what?
Chad Kelly?
Hey.
You don't care?
Well, I mean, I'm looking, Alfred, if the quarterback goes down, we're going to lose.
I'm telling you.
It was right in our face because we're looking at Mike Glennon. And Mike Glennon looked really good because Mike Glennon is a guy who's not good enough to be a starter.
Third round
pick. He's a real, live, experienced NFL quarterback with a couple of different teams who was worth enough to the Chicago Bears to pay him millions of dollars. But yet that's the Glennon Trubisky doctrine where they don't care about who's making what money. There's a budget for him, and they're willing to develop the young guy. And then they let him go. So it was hard not to look at the Cardinals last night, who already have two quarterbacks with Sam Bradford and Josh Rosen that are ahead of Glennon, and think, wow, Mike Glennon would be a good backup quarterback. I mean, how – I could not have been the only one thinking that.
Oh, I was thinking it.
Oh, okay.
Certainly I was. When he threw that corner route, I was like, oh, okay.
But why would the Cardinals let go of Mike Glennon at this point?
They won't.
But why would they?
No.
Because they got Bradford for a lot of money.
Rosen has a hand issue, some finger or something.
But also for financial reasons, too. Bradford has a lot of money. Rosen's a rookie. He doesn't have that much money. And you got a guy like Glennon for, you know, next to nothing as a veteran. Why would you if you're the Cardinals? You wouldn't. That is a really good quarterback room right there in Arizona, don't you think?
Yeah, except, you know, the guy who's calling the offense is going to screw it up.
All right, we'll take a break. Here we go. Cut down day. What are your thoughts? What are you thinking? I saw everybody on social media just grinding about the possibility of D'Angelo Henderson being cut. 303-713-1043. It's The Drive on The Fan.
It's The Drive with Big Al and D-Mac on Sports Radio 104.3 The Fan.
Troy Rank, who inevitably and undoubtedly is rooting for his CU Buffaloes tonight, joins us now, our Denver 7 Broncos insider, presented by the Tranny Law Offices. Have you or someone you know been arrested for a DUI? Contact the Tranny Law Offices at 303-333-1816 for help. Okay, Troy, are you working tonight, or you got tonight off?
I'm working from home, so I'll be watching the game and working from home. I don't have to be I'm not at the station tonight.
Okay. Well, good. You can watch from home. Are you what do you think of the Broncos cuts so far? Any surprises?
No surprises. I mean, again, the difference, you guys have lived this for 20 years. I mean, they used to have a cut down to 75. So most of the names you've seen out today, I think we're up to 13, were all guys that in all likelihood who would have been cut when they reached the 75-man limit. They changed that 2 years ago to where you keep 90 all the way to the end. So no surprises. I mean, the intrigue will begin possibly later tonight, but most certainly tomorrow morning and leading up to the 2 p.m. deadline. Guys like Clinton McDonald, DeMonte Thomas, you know, what will they do with Paxton Lynch, where I think it's more likely now than not that he survives, but what happens with that quarterback position? But no surprises yet.
You know what was great to see last night, and we haven't talked much about it, but Sua Cravens and what he brings to the game. I mean, there was some doubt on my part whether or not he was going to make the team because we haven't seen him. But when I saw him out there last night, he reminded me of the guy that played for the Washington Redskins and he was so aggressive as a young rookie. And last night, you notice on all of those plays that he made that he was in on the tackle, there were always another person around, but he was always the first to make the contact. In the NFL, that means that you reduce yards per carry by one, maybe two, maybe even 3 yards because he was so aggressive. It was good to see him.
Yeah, I mean, I watched a lot of him at USC. I mean, he's a hybrid type player. He's physical. He brings a different element to that secondary that, you know, when T.J. Ward was right and he's healthy, guys weren't looking to go across the middle. I mean, he instilled fear. Now, he had some issues in coverage. We all know that. But he had a presence about him back there. You knew as a receiver, you go across the middle, there's a chance you were going to get hit. And Cravens plays physical. I'm not saying he's T.J., but he brings a physical element that they don't have. And he should be able to, in theory, cover tight ends well. That's clearly been a weakness for them. So I agree with you, Alfred. He jumped off the screen last night because he was aggressive. He was looking for contact. You wonder, a guy's been out with a knee issue all of camp. He was seeking contact, where some guys were backing away, looking, you know, getting run over, giving up that extra 3-4 yards. He was planting guys, so it was good to see.
Any other surprises about guys who, well, Pac-Man Jones make the team?
Yeah, Pac-Man Jones is making the team.
AJ Johnson make the team.
I don't know that he does. He's a bubble guy for me. I mean, he didn't play at all. So everyone, you know, they say a lot of teams had interest in him. Broncos gave him $50,000. But the reality is he's not ready to play. So if you put him on the 53-man roster, he's not going to be active for a bit. You might be able to sneak him through waivers and get him onto your practice squad. That would be the ideal place for him for a year, honestly. From what I saw, I see the potential, but as a guy on the active 53, I don't know, other than playing, you know, random special teams, that what purpose would he serve? So he's on the bubble for me, D-Mac.
D'Angelo Henderson.
Hold on. I want to say this. If they release him, as much fanfare that was surrounding him when all the charges were cleared against him, I can guarantee you somebody will say, I'll just take him and we'll develop him. The guy probably should have been a high first round draft pick if he would have came out and everything was cool. But if they cut him, I'm telling you right now, he's going to play for another team.
I think he's got a chance to be on a practice squad with another team, but I don't think he'll be picked up on a 53.
He's going to play for another team, I'm telling you.
Well, he could.
If he's released.
Kyle Sloter got cut, and he went and played for the Vikings on their practice squad.
Right.
I mean, it does happen. D'Angelo Henderson.
I don't think he makes it. I think they'd look to trade him. Just comes down to, they want 4 running backs. And where everyone's like, well, he looked great, and he did. And he looked great last training camp, but he didn't play last year other than one fake punt at Buffalo and the last game against Kansas City. And Phillip Lindsay's passed him on the depth chart. So the issue would be, why not keep him? Well, Phillip Lindsay has more versatility on special teams, has clearly is going to play. If you listen to John Elway last night, he said they're looking to get him 8 to 10 snaps on offense and get him in space. We're talking about Lindsay. So that's what hurts D'Angelo Henderson. For me right now, he's not on the team with the roster I'm projecting, because they could put David Williams on the practice squad, and you have a guy there then you could go get. So I think the best case scenario for D'Angelo would be a trade, get him a chance to play somewhere. I like him too. I just think he's a victim of numbers, and Phillip Lindsay has moved past him on the depth chart.
Let me ask you this while we're here. What about Booker? What about Booker do they love? Just let me know.
Nobody understands it.
Just let me know.
Nobody can understand it.
What about Booker do they love?
I know it's going to sound sarcastic. They know what they have in Booker, and they know he knows the playbook. And so if you put him out there, he's not going to just have, you know, deer in the headlights, miss a blitz, and Case Keenum ends up, you know, getting whiplash the third pass of the season. They know what they have, which for me carries a negative connotation. For them, he's like that 230 hitter in baseball that, you know, if you hit a ground ball to him, he's going to catch it. We'd rather have somebody else, but we at least know what we have. I mean, that's all I could tell you, Alfred. They see stuff in him that none of us have seen. I like Devontae. I just don't see him as a first, second down back. I think Freeman's clearly beating him out in that role. But why would he be on the team? Because if they cut him, every guy that you would enter the season with would have no NFL experience, basically.
I got an interesting.
Unless you cut Booker and kept Henderson.
I got an interesting one for you guys. With their commitment to 22 Janos, which is the man crush on him is just through the roof. I think they may cut Austin Traylor and keep Matt Lacoste. How about that one?
I think Gokas helped himself last night. Here, that's a weird one because, you know, Heuermann and Jake Butter making the team. So when you're third tight end, D-Mac, it comes down to this. Do you want Lacoste, who's a better receiver, than Traylor or Parker? Or do you want Parker? I don't think Traylor makes it. I think Parker is done.
I do,
it's
too.
It's coming down between Parker and Lacoste. Parker's a blocking tight end. He's kind of an old-school, big guy blocking tight end. Do you want that as your third guy? So on goal line, double tight end, true blocking tight end? Or do you want another pass-catching tight end? So I lean slightly to Parker because he's got a different skill set than Jake Butt and Jeff Heuermann.
Yeah, but I would lean towards Lacoste and just use Janovich more. You got him. You're committed to him. Use him.
Yeah, I mean, again, if you're going to use the fullback more, that's an argument. I mean, Jano's had a great camp in that way. If you use Jano, he has a purpose because he lights guys up. But he's got to be on the field. I mean, he wasn't on the field offensively much last year. He was a special teams guy.
Lacoste, though, Lacoste is a matchup nightmare and a tremendous athlete. So I just want to keep the good athletes on the team. All right, last one, of course, Paxton Lynch. What do you think is going on in John Elway's head tonight about Paxton Lynch?
I think it's, as we sit here today, it's more likely than not that he makes the team as third string, that they'll feel comfortable enough to get Chad Kelly as number two, at least through the first week where you don't have to guarantee some veteran salary. And we talked about this on the morning show, Mike Evans and I. It's just such an underwhelming group of guys out there. Do you really need Mike Glennon? Do you need Josh Dobbs? Do you need, please, no, Tom Savage? I mean, is there a guy that you really need to go get to usurp Chad Kelly at number two? For me, there's not. I would get through week one, and then if you decide, you know what, we're just not comfortable in this, then you can go get a guy. But in that scenario, Lynch makes it as the third string guy. So basically you're paying him to run the scout team rather than to pay him to go away.
I'm, you know, don't look at me. I don't even want to say anything else about it.
Yeah, but you realize we're not advocating for it.
No,
we're just talking
about
what.
It's just like you're rewarding bad play. He had one half of one game in three preseasons. You just cannot. You cannot reward bad play.
Well, here's where it would bother me, Al, and I'm with you. He hasn't earned necessarily a roster spot, clearly. But here's where it would bother me is if you lose Jeff Holland. I want that guy in the
exactly.
team, mainly for the macro view of this, that you don't know what's going to happen with Shane Ray and Shaq Barrett after this year. You might lose them both. You're probably for sure going to lose one. I want Jeff Holland on the team because you can't have enough pass rushers. And I see in Holland the same guy I saw in Shaq Barrett the year he was on the practice squad and eventually became a player. I see so many similarities. That's a guy I want to keep. But I don't think he would clear waivers because so many teams need pass rushers.
I mean, he shows up in every game when he's gotten an opportunity. So why not just go ahead and have Jeff Holland part of the 53-man roster because, you know, he's turned the corner on both the left side and he's turned the corner on the right side. So if you've shown that you can turn the corner on both sides in the NFL, that means that you're a special player. Von Miller, Von Miller cannot turn the corner on the right side. So yeah. I'm telling you that this guy is pretty unique. I think it would be good for them to keep a guy who can play both sides of the offense. Of the defensive line / outside linebackers instead of keeping a guy like Paxton Lynch. It doesn't make sense.
Yeah, again, if you keep Paxton, somebody's going to get pinched somewhere else. That's the reality of it. And is that somebody that you're like, it's a special teams guy? Or if it's Holland, I don't like it. I personally don't like it. If it's a true special teams guy, you know, those guys are fungible pieces, unfortunately, and that's the reality. But I want Jeff Holland on the team based on what I've seen over the last 5 weeks.
Okay. More frustrating. 3 hits in 13 innings or Brian Shaw giving up the world's biggest gopher ball to a guy that looks like he can bench press a house.
Yeah, Brian Shaw has been responsible for more big hits than Cardi B.
Wow, there you go.
He is awful. I don't blame him at all.
Did you watch the broadcast as it was going on, Troy, last night?
Yeah, I mean, I slept like 1 hour last night because I was working and I had to do a TV thing and then I had to do radio with Mike. I did.
The broadcast was comical because they're previewing Kyle Freeland's going to hit because they ran out of hitters. And Kyle Freeland, you know, for all the pitchers that were available, so they're looking at, Kyle Freeland's going to be the Kyle Freeland. Game's over. Brian Shaw, we forgot about him because there were two outs. And I forget even how many strikes were there. That gopher ball he served up, Troy, I mean, My goodness. I mean, just put it on
the plate. I don't blame Shaw, though. I don't blame Shaw because they had three hits. Their offense has been skittish for 6 weeks now, D-Mac. Here's the issue. If you continue to put the game in the bullpen's hands,
there
you're
going to
be disappointed.
There you go.
They need to win a game 7-1 once in a while, 6-2. Every game they play is a one-run game. Those guys, and you're using the same three guys every night. I'm telling you, you're not going to reach the finish line. They've got to get hot offensively. And I think where the key is, and Nolan's had a great year. He's in a slump now. Nolan needs to catch fire, go on an MVP run, bring the offense with him. Because that's the only way they're going to get there. They cannot win the division or reach the playoffs the way their offense is running right now. They just can't do it because their bullpen will disappoint them. The bullpen is in every game. You can't win like that.
What's the final score today, CUCSU?
You know, I haven't looked at the over-under, but, I mean, I would think CU is going to win, what, 31-21 type game?
There you go,
I mean,
Buffalo.
31-24.
That's right. Let's get ready to sing that fight song tonight, Troy. Let's sing that fight song tonight.
You better believe that. Shoulder to shoulder, Al. Come on.
Okay. Thank you, Troy. Talk to you soon.
All right. See ya.
Troy Rank on Denver 7, working from home tonight. Be safe this Labor Day weekend. For a safe night out, grab a designated driver. Coors Light. With great beer comes great responsibility. Let's see what's going on with that Denver snapshot.